Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, mate!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And General Mayhem.
My doggie. Wah!
Hey everybody, this is Brandon with Cigars and Cinema, and this is not our regular episode. Once a year, for the past 3 years, Randy and I have had the pleasure of being part of the Texas Frightmare Weekend. And we've been lucky enough for them to let us go check it out and do some press coverage there. So this is the press coverage that we did for that event. It's 3 days of, you know, basically a horror convention, like the equivalent of a Comic-Con, but for horror movies. You get to meet a lot of great celebrities, and this is our collection of those interviews. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Randy Rankin.
And I'm Brandon Luna.
We're here at Texas Frightmare Weekend 2016.
Yeah,
it's our third year here, buddy.
Special Cigars and Cinema version of the show. We're doing lots of interviews, hopefully. Get to see a lot of cool stuff.
I've already interacted with David Arquette.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
We got our friends from Circus of the Dead here, which is great. Absolutely. So we'll be hanging out with them at some point.
Billy's going to smoke his very first cigar.
Awesome sauce.
That's going to be awesome.
Yep. So check out the video. We got lots of cool things to show you and lots of great interviews coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to win this race.
Is
this a tag team interview?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, heck. All right. Let's go.
You ready?
Hell yeah. Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
With Cigars and Cinema. And this is David Arquette.
The David Arquette.
What?
I know, right?
What's up? Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, my gosh.
We're world champion.
Exactly. Right. Texas Frightmare Fest this year, and this guy's great. I mean, Eight-Legged Freaks, Scream, Ready to Rumble.
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we're going
to
ask
excited
you
to be here.
So excited to be here. I mean, it's great to have you here for the first time. Super excited to have you here. I got to ask about Eight-Legged Freaks because that's my personal favorite that you did.
Did you know that was going to be such a cool flick when you picked up that script? I mean, was that, when you read it, did you have the idea that that was going to be something special?
Well, it was sort of coming off Arachnophobia, and that was such a brilliant spider movie. And then everybody involved in it just had such a good track record. So, yeah, I mean, it seemed like a lot of fun, and they did a great job.
Was it crazy acting against, like, nothing? Because you had to act against all those, like, blue screen stuff and everything for the special effects coming later?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I mean, with Scream, it's like you're dealing with, you know, real stuff. This was, like, the first time it was, like, a full effects deal.
Yeah, you're dealing with real fake stuff. Real fake. No, but, yeah. I mean, the craziest thing was, like, Scarlett Johansson, who's just this incredible actress. She's so super young, and you just meet her, you just see immediately she's going to be a superstar.
Right. Okay, can you believe it? The 20-year anniversary of Scream?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that crazy?
It is super crazy, yeah.
So, once again, kind of steal his question, did you know Scream was going to be a big hit when you
Well, that's different. Like, when you do certain films and the right people come together, the right director, the right script, and the right cast, and the cast gels, and everybody's working together, then there is that magic feeling where you're like, oh, this is something extra special.
We're doing something cool here, right? Yeah. Okay, my personal favorite is 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Yeah.
I'm a Kevin Costner fan. I'm a Kurt Russell fan. What was that like? I mean, there was a high testosterone count in that movie with those guys.
It was, but to work with those guys, they're such, like, heroes and champions. And, like, you know, I'm fans of theirs. So they're really great men, too. So just to work with them was really cool. And Christian Slater, and Bokeem Woodbine, and, you know, just all of us running around the desert. It's just fun. It's pretty bizarre. And the craziest thing is we had these, like, you know, machine guns that were in the middle of Riviera Casino. And then we'd cut, and we'd be walking around with, you know, machine guns in a casino. And I was like, I'm going to get shot at something.
So you have awesome comedic timing. When you first started acting, did you know that was kind of where you wanted to go? You wanted to be a comedic actor, or you just kind of wanted to cross all the bases? What was your purpose when you first started out?
My family's kind of like from that vaudeville kind of comedy, just joking around thing. So it was something my dad put, like, in our hearts, and his father, my grandfather. So it's always sort of the way we just interacted in the world.
Very gotcha. Cool, very cool.
David, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it,
hey,
buddy.
And you, I heard you smoke cigars on occasion.
I do.
Is it like a special occasion thing or just when you're feeling like it or
usually
what?
Usually golfing. Or late at night.
Okay.
Just very cool.
Well, I've got one if you want one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we definitely have
some. Get your name on it, man.
Very nice meeting you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
With Cigars in Cinema. We're here with
Tom Matthews.
Tom Matthews. Hi. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Return of the Living Dead. One of my favorite movies growing up.
Mm-hmm.
This was the movie that got me back into zombie movies. Now, it was Night of the Living Dead. Everybody knew about that. Everybody knew about Dawn of the Dead. Return of the Living Dead was like a totally different thing. It was right at the time. Yeah, exactly. Right at the time when punk rock was big, it was like a big thing, and then this movie came out that was like this comedy thing, and it was friggin' awesome.
Right.
Did you know when you signed up to do this movie that this is going to be something special?
I had no idea.
It was a job, right?
I had no idea. It was a job. It literally was a job, and it was a long process. It took about 9 months after we got when I first went in and auditioned, and then they had some legal issues with the name, and so it took 9 months, and then we started. They did a very smart thing. They had us rehearse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They had us rehearse for 2 weeks, which was, you know, there's a lot of kids in it and the grown-ups and stuff, so mm-hmm. it was a very smart thing for them to do. But had no idea that it would change, it would be part of pulp culture.
Yeah. Right.
Because now when you think of zombies, you think about them eating brains, and
right.
it's because
yeah.
of this movie.
It was right. it was because
it's
of this.
It's the one that laid out the rules for the zombies.
Dan yeah. O'Bannon, God rest
uh-huh. Yeah, the guy exactly. wrote Alien, I mean, so I this know. Was yeah. like a hell of a cast here, yeah. and it seemed like it really worked, because you guys had a great cast. It felt like you knew each other. It was one of those horror movies that actually felt like it was lived in. You know, it was very lived in.
And the testament of that is that we're still hanging out here at these conventions, and we see each other a lot mm-hmm. back home. And I'm having dinner with Jimmy Caron in about a week or so. So we're over very close. So
that's very cool. Very cool. So you're part of the Living Dead franchise, but also part of the Friday the 13th
yes,
franchise
I've
as well.
I've done that as well. Yeah.
And sure. Part six, I have to tell you, is one of my favorite ones. It's the premise is so outrageous, you know, with the lightning bringing
right.
back and everything.
Right.
But it was Horshack. Yeah.
But
Horshack
played
in that.
I mean, it kind of works. I mean, yeah. you know, I just saw it not too long ago, and the whole thing kind of works. I mean, Tom McLaughlin did a fantastic job. I mean, it really looks like because it is. It's a feature film, and he took a lot of time and a lot of care and a lot of detail setting everything up. And, you know, it's got a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
really, you know, they did a lot.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you a personal question. Not really personal.
Absolutely.
Not actually personal, but you worked a lot with Albert Pyun.
I did. And
Nemesis is one of my favorites. How did you connect with that guy, and why did you work in so many of his movies? Were you friends? Or?
No, we weren't friends. He auditioned. He called us in, and I think it was a Canon movie at the time. And he was tricky. What he would do was he'd make us audition, and then he would make us sit around and wait and wait some more, and 4 hours would go by because he wanted to see how the actor would right. be on the set.
Right.
So this is how he would audition
wow.
you, and amongst, you know, reading and stuff like that.
Right.
So, and I guess he liked what I was doing, and he gave me some really great, fun parts.
Yeah.
I mean, one I did in Down Twisted, the character was scripted as 250-pound, dark, you know, this brooding guy. So I started working out, and I dyed my hair dark,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work for my skin color, so I bleached it, but I didn't
yep.
tell him.
I remember that. Yeah.
I went down to Mexico, okay. and right. he was like, he didn't even recognize me, and he goes, I love it.
Nice.
So it was very creative and fun. I mean, you know, it was just a very creative process, every film we did with him.
Yeah, very underrated director, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Really
so,
fun.
You do smoke cigars.
I do smoke cigars, yes.
What do you like?
What type of, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't
like
think
mild,
it's
medium.
Mild. Yeah, for
you
sure.
Like the milder
he
stuff?
The, he likes okay. the Cubans, I think.
Yeah, I got you.
We're not quite there yet.
Not quite. No,
almost.
No.
We're almost there. We're almost there, yeah.
Exactly.
Is it a pretty regular thing for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Yeah. Good deal.
It's definitely a great way to relax and just enjoy some time.
After a great meal, have a cigar and some port. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So anything up on the horizon for you?
No, just trying to get my kids out the door, and still raising them, and I have my construction company, and
okay.
So that keeps me...
hey, that's life, man. That's good stuff.
Keeps me busy and keeps my routine, and then, you know, people send me scripts and every now and again, and so there's always that promise too.
Yeah.
Okay. Going forward.
You need Quentin Tarantino needs to send you one. You need to come
there
back.
There you go. Absolutely.
Love to work with him.
Yeah, no kidding, right? All right. That was very nice meeting you, sir.
My pleasure.
Tom, thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Luna. Randy Rankin. And Mitch Pileggi. Yeah. Mitch Pileggi at the Texas Frightmare Weekend.
What was it like working on Dallas? It was such an iconic show back in the 80s, and they brought it back. And you were a heavy in that movie, in that series.
He was a bad boy. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time doing it. You know, I got to work with some great people, and I actually had done. I used to do extra work on Dallas back in the original series.
Really?
I lived down in Austin, and I used to drive up from Austin and do background. And when I came back to do the new reincarnation of the show, or the new incarnation of the show. Linda Gray came up to me and she goes, "Oh, we're so happy to have you." And I said, "Honey, I used to stand behind you as an extra on this show 30 years ago."
That's way
like,
cool.
Oh my God!
It all comes back around.
Yeah, but I ended up, you know, the first run of the show, I did four episodes with Larry. I think the last season, and so I got to work with him, and then, you know, and then we lost him when we did the new series. But it was great being around him and just feeling his energy is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You've been attached to sci-fi quite a bit between, you know, Stargate and X-Files. Is that something you gravitated towards as an actor because you like the subject matter, or was it just really kind of whatever jobs?
I do like the subject matter. I am a sci-fi fan. I guess they look at me and they go, yeah, he's a sci-fi guy. So it's you know, I tend to get hired for a lot of that, you know, for those type of projects, and it's fine with me because then I get to do all this stuff, which is really cool. Yeah.
Well, hey, it's been great talking to you. I want to take more of your time because we got people here, but right, it's fantastic talking to you, Mitch.
Thank you so much.
All right, y'all take care.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna,
Randy Rankin,
and we're here with Charles Band, creator of Full Moon.
This is true. I created Full Moon.
You did. And I tell you what, I have a little bit of a story to tell. I worked for Blockbuster back in the day. I was at a screening of Dollman versus Demonic Toys with Tim Thomerson and you. And that you guys were gods to Blockbuster back in the day, man. I mean, you made movies that came out on the regular. People loved them. Did you know it was going to become this, I mean, after all that time?
Well, I'm not sure what this is. Here we are at the Texas Frightmare. It's kind of a bummer in that when Blockbuster and Hollywood and those big rental chains were alive and well, that was the way that people got to see my movies and other independent filmmakers. You would go to your local video store, there was the new Puppet Master, Demonic Toys, or Dollman, or Reanimator, or From Beyond, and blah, 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 blah. And that's how you discovered movies. Today, we don't have that anymore. So first, the rental stores are gone. So if you want to go back and work at your Blockbuster, it's gone, dude. There's no more Blockbuster. So it's really hard as a filmmaker to get the movies out to where people can all over the country see it on any given date. Right. So that's why we started Full Moon Streaming, which is kind of a Netflix for lunatics, I think, in a weird way.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. It's only $6 a month. It's fullmoonstreaming.com. And that way, all of our movies get released. And yes, you can eventually find them a month or two later on DVD, sometimes Blu-ray, at a convention. But unless you're going on Amazon, you know, it's also hard for young filmmakers to sort of show their wares, because if you go on Amazon or eBay, you know, you're looking for a title. You know, the old days, like a few years ago, when you're at a video store, there was a whole shelf of new horror releases or sci-fi or whatever, and then you had a little bit of a chance to go, hey, that looks cool. You know, you don't get that today, really. You know, the technology, as good as it is, doesn't allow that. So we started Full Moon Streaming, and all our new releases hit there day one. So one of my crazy franchises is called Evil Bong.
Yes.
And we just made our fifth. So Evil Bong 4, I was clever enough to think of Evil Bong 420.
Yeah.
And Evil Bong 5 is Evil Bong High Five. Mm-hmm. And now we're making Evil Bong 666. But after that, I run out of good ideas. I don't know what to do with 7 or 8.
Seven's kind of a
but
wholesome.
That's kind of the way we do it today. But I'm glad that back in the day, we were cool at Blockbuster. And those were great days, you know. And
that's how I got into horror films was watching your stuff from Blockbuster.
Well, I would say, look at the people here. This is how everyone got into horror films. I mean, you know, way back when there was no video, and I admit that I was there as a young kid, you had no chance. You know, first there was no way to even figure out who made what unless you really were writing stuff down. The horror film would come out once every few months at your local drive-in, usually made by Roger Corman. You know, right. And you would go to see it. Why? Because the poster was a lurid poster of some tentacle creature wrapping around some hot chick, and you go, my right. God, you know, the movie was never that good, but right. let's go see that movie. But if you wanted to see any horror films that maybe you had heard about, there was no way, you know. So the idea of someone at will being able to rent or buy any movie they wanted, when that happened in the late 70s, I was the first guy there. I had a video company called Mita Home Entertainment. So I can actually lay claim that we were the first independent home video company on planet Earth. Wow. There were two formats, VHS and Beta.
Right.
Beta died and VHS survived, and now VHS is gone, and DVD and all that's going to be gone. I mean, I hate to say it. 5 years from now, it's going to be, what are those things on that shelf all gathering dust?
Right.
Just like today, you look at VHS, it kind of looks like an antique. You know? It's that's weird. Did we actually do that? And did we get penalized when we didn't rewind the tape?
Right. You know? Right.
So anyway, the point of all this is the world's changing. So yeah, so streaming's cool. The good thing about streaming is I'm able to put up like a million hours of behind-the-scenes footage. That was the first guy out there doing the video zone, you know, how the movie was made. And that was at the end of a VHS. You had to know it was there and wind down. And that became sort of the norm for DVDs. But now I'm able to put up, if you subscribe to the site, you go to all the different trays that show old video zones, you know, uncut footage. I mean, because, you know, for every behind-the-scenes we shot of Puppet Master that was edited down to 10 minutes, it was probably 5 hours of material.
Wow.
Raw. And I put all that up, all the raw footage.
That's
awesome. If you're a real fan of any of these franchises, you go there and you can see stuff no one's ever seen before. Now, some of it may be boring, I don't know, but it's kind of fun to see.
Right.
You know,
it's cool to have access to that as a fan.
To have access, right, as a fan. So. Yeah.
And what is that website?
Fullmoon Streaming. Now, is she shooting this or is this a
movie?
Oh, I thought this was like, okay, wow, what a. So you guys. You have to explain why you both have the same shirt on. I think that's hilarious.
A buddy of mine did this movie, Circus of the Dead.
Okay.
And we each bought a shirt yesterday, and I guess we both accidentally wore it at the same time.
Yeah.
Imagine our embarrassment.
He's actually over in the other booth, the other side over there. So. Yeah.
Cool. So anyway, this is a great show, and we're screening a movie today called Trophy Heads, which is about an insane fan for Scream Queens, and the only way he can think of preserving their fame, because they're kind of being lost and forgotten, is to cut their heads off, of course, put them on a wall, then the heads start talking to them. It's 4 o'clock in the main room, and maybe better than the movie is I'm giving out free beer.
Yeah,
even better.
We sat right next to you last year when we did the Gingerbread Man versus.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Hilarious.
So come today at 4.
Okay,
okay.
We'll do, all right, we'll dudes. Do it. Good right, talking.
This is Brandon Luna,
Randy Rankin,
and this is Brooke Thies.
Hello.
And you might know her from Nightmare on Elm Street 4, very famous for that, but she's done so much more. So Nightmare on Elm Street 4 was your second movie.
Yes, that's right. It was my second movie, and my first one was Little Nikita with River Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so how you go from like that, which is a regular movie, to something like this, which is like major special effects and stuff. Was it a shock?
You know, I don't think I really knew what I was in for. Yeah. Right. I mean, I knew all about the film because of Heather and JoJo, but and you kind of read your part. I turn into a cockroach, but you don't really, before you do a horror film, you don't really know what's quite involved, which is probably for the better.
Are you a fan of horror films?
I'm a huge fan of horror film. I love scary movies, and I grew up with a brother who's 4 years older. And he had all the Fangoria, I guess it wouldn't have been Fangoria then, but he had all the books.
Monster Magazine and whatever.
Scenes, yeah. And I remember I'd go through them. And I was like, ew, this is creepy. You know, he'd have like, you know, Bride of Frankenstein. I remember so many of those classic horror films that he had the books of. And that's probably why I liked it so much. And I love to get scared and really know that I'm not going to die.
You've got a wide variety of work. I mean, you did a lot of television, like Boy Meets World and stuff like that. What was it? Did you skew away from the horror genre after this movie, or was it just something that you just kind of went wherever the work was?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I kind of just fell into the television, and then that just kind of went on a roll, and so I just went with it. But honestly, I'd love to do another horror film. I really, really would. It's the one genre that I love, and I would love to do it again.
Right.
Yeah, and so I had so much fun shooting it. As hard as it was probably the most physically challenging work I'd ever done, because there was so many steps, so many moving parts to that whole death scene.
Yeah.
How long did that take? I mean, how long were you?
It was about a 3-week process.
Three weeks for that one scene.
Yeah, for that one scene. Now, we didn't shoot for a solid 3 weeks, but if I had to put together the body casting, to the then the arms and the all of that makeup to the box, and not to the box, that was like to the Roach costume. I'm in that costume. All of those pieces put together, I would say about 3 weeks. Okay. Yeah.
So, total transformation though. You weren't in that thing, and you were just with the arms and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So like it was almost like I think that was a couple of days. A day or two in that room, and then that was a couple of days running down the hall, and then in that room, and then getting into the bug suit and stuff. We shot that in like a 18-hour.
Wow.
You know, so, like yeah, I was that was like literally 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were shooting that.
Poor thing.
So how many total hours in the bug suit? You think?
God, I would have to calculate it, really. I don't know off the top of my head. But
would it be like an all day?
Yeah, maybe 2 days. Okay. Yeah, because that was like we shot that forever. Mm-hmm. And I know they were trying to get it in the can, and they were trying to get it, you know, done. But certain thing, then I was in that box.
Yeah.
Because that's all my head, my head is my part, is my body part. I was in that box just waiting. For 5 hours.
Did you have to do the gross stuff with the thing, or was that a stunt woman?
No, that was me. That was all me.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah. I know everybody asked that. So that was mostly filling, what jelly donut filling is made out of.
Okay, we just out the color, so.
Okay. They're like, it's fine, you can eat it. We just don't want you to inhale it. So I was like, okay. I'm trying not to.
How bizarre.
That's crazy.
So beyond the Nightmare on Elm Street thing, obviously, what has been your favorite project to work on? Like, you have a passion project that you were just so happy to work on?
Gosh, you know, the funny thing is like my earlier stuff, just the 10 of us, is so near and dear to my heart. I literally am still very close to all the girls. Deborah Harmon, who played my mom, is truly like my second mom. Joanne Willette and I text weekly. I see Heather all the time. Bill Kirkenbauer, I message all the time on Facebook. So that's like a really extended family of mine. And the producers and the writers I'm still friends with.
Yeah.
So that's very near and dear to my heart. And that was like one of my very first big projects. And then, of course, The Nightmare has been such an amazing part of a franchise to be a part of. I mean, right. I just got so lucky, yeah. You know. So the fact that... That was early on in my career. I, you know, who knew? I didn't know.
Right.
And I look back now and I go, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool franchise to have my name on.
Absolutely.
And I'm very proud.
Yeah,
of that.
Definitely,
I'm very
definitely.
Very proud of that. Without, I didn't do anything. I just auditioned and I got the part and had to have a really awesome death scene.
No kidding.
That's what you want.
Yeah, right.
That's definitely what you want.
And I get to be an action figure.
Even better.
Yeah, my best friend's son, who's like a teenager. Goes, Mom, Brooke's an action figure. She's made it.
Nice.
Like laughing so hard. I was like, yep.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's so great.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
It was so great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. Nice to meet you both.
Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Randy Rankin.
And I'm Brandon Luna.
We are here with the Circus of the Dead folks, Rusty Edwards.
Billy Pond.
Billy and I go way back. Rusty big time me yesterday, even though I had lunch with him 6 weeks ago, and he just already forgot about me. But that's okay.
I'm lucky to remember my own name most days.
So. I hear you. Well, we're here with
the creators.
You've got a new version.
Me and Rusty are getting married.
Yeah.
Good.
This is the first time we've heard of this.
Finally.
I'm expecting. If you can't tell, so it's a shotgun wedding.
Me too. And a beer baby.
What are we talking? We talking about distribution?
The editing, you know, where we're at with the editing.
Well, the movie's getting ready to come out. We found a company that we really like, and I think we're going to ink the deal any day now, and it should be about 3 months until it's out everywhere.
Nice. That's great.
That's excellent. Excellent.
And how much did you actually cut out from the original version that we saw?
I'm thinking it's like a little over 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Gotcha.
But it moves a lot better. I'm glad we did. Ever since we did that, we've won about a dozen Best Feature Awards. So,
oh,
I mean,
nice.
I think it's a very good edit.
So. Congratulations.
Excellent. Well, we saw the unrevised version last year at the Texas Frightmare Weekend. My daughter's first time seeing it, and I think she was 16 at the time. Scarred for life.
Yes.
So you guys did a good job.
That's good parenting.
It's good for birth control with young kids when they watch Circus of the Dead, so it works out pretty good.
So what's going on with the sequel/prequel? I think the name's changed. It was Mr. Pfister?
No, the prequel was Dollboy. The sequel will be Circus of the Dead 2. I got a good script, but I don't know if that'll be my next movie or not yet. It might be, it might not be. I got something else up my sleeve. Kind of whatever my heart takes me at that given time is what I'll do.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right.
So, Rusty, what are you working on right now?
You know, just trying to stay awake and, you know.
That makes it tough.
No. I just do whatever Billy tells me to do. So.
He'll be in a movie I'm producing called Men in Back.
Yes.
Men in Back.
I don't want to know the plot line of that, but I can only imagine what that's going to be like. Yeah.
So, did you ever want to act, or was this just Billy dragged you into this?
No, it's just my gruesome looks finally pay off, you know. So, no, I didn't think I was going to be an actor or anything like that, but Billy just wanted me to be one of his clowns because of my fantastic features. Right. And so, and he just said, you know, the character's kind of like you, just kind of be yourself, and I'll help you with whatever else you need. So that's kind of worked out.
Did you know when you were eating lunch with this guy in high school that you're going to be making movies?
With Randy, I knew I probably wanted to. I probably wanted to be a rock star first.
Yeah.
Probably secondly.
You want to be a rock star, I want to be a baseball player.
And since there's already one Meatloaf, I didn't figure there could be two, so I just decided to make movies.
Well, let's talk about your band a little bit.
Well, we got the Billy Hendrix Experiment. Roy Shuck's out here somewhere, actually. We do that a lot, but now we're working on one called Van Whalen. It's going to be the world's fattest Van Halen tribute band.
Awesome. Awesome.
Van Whalen. Awesome.
Van Whalen, yeah.
I love it.
Well, thank you guys so much for giving us some time today, and we're going to smoke your first cigar later?
Yeah,
right?
Later. Yeah, we're going to get it on camera or something.
Hell yeah, we are. That'd we are going to take it.
We're here with the writer and director of Circus of the Dead, Mr. Billy Pond.
What up, yo? We're going to smoke some cigars here. I've never done it, and I'm scared. Am I going to be all right?
You'll be fine. We'll hold your hand. Okay, all right. And we have, I forgot your name, I'm sorry.
Mariah Monroe.
Mariah Monroe. And, of course,
Rusty Edwards.
Mr. Blister. Almost. Yeah, that was getting ready to get to that. And your name is?
David Chacon.
David plays Big Joe.
David plays Big Joe. Okay, great. So we have a lot of the Circus of the Dead people here. Billy and I have known each other more years than I care to admit. And he's never smoked a cigar, so here we go. I picked for him a nice, mild Dunhill Aged. It's a Dominican Connecticut wrapper. And to me, it is the best tasting Connecticut around. I've loved that cigar for years. It's very smooth, very creamy. You'll pick up hints of
creamy, like gravy.
No, not that kind of creamy. More like a buttery, like a buttery cream. Yeah,
maybe buttery.
And you probably can taste some of that. You're doing the cold draw. What do you think?
It's pretty nice. It's pretty good.
Okay, you picking up some of that cream and the Okay. Well, you try it now. That's called the cold draw. Just kind of roll it around in your mouth.
Yeah, just put it in your mouth and suck it.
Don't act like you ain't never heard that.
Waiting for that. Someone had to say it.
Yeah, it tastes nothing like gravy.
No, it doesn't taste anything like gravy. Okay, so Brandon's going to hold the microphone. Or are you going to light him? Are you going to light him? Okay.
So lean in. Just puff in, but don't inhale.
Just puff. Just
no, no, no.
Little puffs. Little puffs. Like this. Watch.
Pull it in your mouth and blow it right back out.
That even
okay.
Don't inhale. So it's just blowing it right back out.
Okay. So this could be bad, huh?
Yeah.
You do not want to inhale.
Roll it around.
Yep. Roll it around.
Pull a little harder than that.
Act like you want it.
Take it. Make it your bitch. All right.
We have children around us. Good Lord.
Now you do.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and light mine.
So you don't inhale?
No, you don't inhale. You just put it in your mouth.
Pete, do not inhale.
You can blow it out your nose, but don't take it in the lungs.
Don't take it down in
the lungs. Yeah, don't take it in the lungs, because it'll make you cough and probably puke.
And what does that do?
Makes you look cool. Just like the kids out behind the gym.
What happens if you inhale?
When you inhale, a cigar, you get nothing good from it. You get nothing special from the cigar. You get nothing except for it hurts your lungs.
Oh no, we don't want to hurt those.
No, and you'll cough.
Get one set, right?
You'll cough, and if you're worried about the vomiting, that's when it'll vomit. It's if you start inhaling that thing.
And that's it.
That's it. So here we are. We're at Texas Frightmare. We're at Texas Frightmare weekend. Mariah's smoked cigars before, apparently. Nice. Good
on
job.
Film.
On film, even. All right. Good deal. So how was everybody's day here at Frightmare today?
What?
How was your day here at Frightmare?
It was fantastic.
Okay, good.
I had a great time. Met a lot of people. It was a good time.
Sell any pictures?
We don't sell. We give it away for free.
See, you should sell. You'd make more money.
Yeah, it's not about money all the time, right, buddy?
That's true. That's true. That's true. Okay, Brandon, you got any questions or what's it got?
What do you think so far? I mean, are you getting any kind of flavor in your mouth at all? And
no, I wouldn't take it as that. I mean, other than it just being, you know, relaxing and just hanging out with friends and yeah. shooting it. I mean, that's the coolest thing I would say about it. Is that what it's kind of about?
Yeah, that's mainly what it's about, yeah.
And then once you interact with stuff before, you start to look at certain things too. Yeah. And you're looking for the taste on that, so that just the puff stuff, whatever goes in your mouth, you're looking for the taste to be in there.
Right. You can leave it in your mouth a little bit, move it around.
I mean, it's for sure not like overpowering or anything like that. Or
yeah. Blow it out real slow.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah. Well, y'all asked me some questions about filmmaking. What do you want to know?
We are. Okay, so when you make a film, how do you do it?
Very, very, very carefully. When you do it, you probably just start out with like making a short or something, or even a fake trailer.
Right.
I gave a class today about doing film with Chuck Norfolk and Courtney Sandifer. And that's what they're saying is we're saying, you know, you start out small, maybe with the short or something before you go after a feature.
Right.
Just to kind of get your feet wet, so to speak. Yeah. You know?
Now, when you write, do you outline?
I do outline, but you'd start it off with just a sentence. Okay. You know, you need to tell your sentence, or at least like a paragraph or something, what your story's about. Yeah. And then you just basically make it bigger. But I like, what I like doing is come up with a really good ending. Once you get a good ending, then I like to write backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So have you ever shot on film, or has it always been video for you?
It's always been video, but I'm going to shoot on film someday. I know James Bickert did it. He just did it with Frankenstein Created Bikers, and I was very jealous. Even though he said it was very expensive, it looks like something fun to do.
We do 16, or?
I'm not sure what he did on that, because okay. I'm really bad when it comes to that. I just barely learned the digital stuff, okay.
What did you guys shoot Circus of the Dead on? Was that on Red, or?
No, we actually shot it on a Canon C300.
Really?
Yeah, there is. It's a nice camera, but we had some Zeiss lenses. Our cinematographer, Gabe Ramirez, picked those out and stuff like that. But those lenses were hellaciously cool.
So you were a lot of the shots really beautiful. I mean, you had some good depth of field to it. So you were shooting with like fixed 70s and stuff like that, or?
Yes, I think we did. I can't tell you exact sizes, but we had, you know, like a wide tot and you know, a medium. So, and that's what we did. So.
Yeah, the movie looked great. I mean, it has a fantastic look to it. Cinematographer is incredible.
That looks, that's how you're supposed to smoke a cigar, right there.
Yep. Okay. He's just kind of chillifying.
In a fedora, legs crossed, chilling out by the pool. Mm-hmm. That is cigar smoking 101.
My daughter's covering her nose. She's like, it smells!
Do you have to shoot this all the time for him?
She's supposed to.
She's just unlucky today.
Yep. She's the frightener camera guy. Camera girl.
Make sure I didn't turn it off. Okay, good. We, our first year here, we interviewed Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
And basically, well, he interviewed us. He grabbed the microphone out of our hands, and he starts asking us questions.
Turned off the damn mic.
And he turned off the mic, and we didn't realize it.
Oh, shit.
And we actually got the bumper from him where he says, hi, this is Robert Patrick, and you're listening to, so it's a, and you could barely, can't hear it.
Yep.
Couldn't hear it. Okay, so is it an unpleasant experience? Is it pleasant?
It's not unpleasant. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it pleasant. It's no cheeseburger, but, But, I mean, I don't have
any... It lasts longer than a cheeseburger, though.
But, I mean, I get it where, you know, you got friends and stuff around and stuff like that. Friends and then Rusty. And it's okay. Yeah, it's all right.
Good deal. And why do I keep forgetting? Did you say Bob?
Dave,
damn it. Dave, have you smoked cigars before?
I'm sorry?
Have you smoked cigars before?
I smoke cigars on a daily basis, yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. What do you smoke?
Mostly for every day, just a Black and Miles are my favorite, but... this is pretty good. I enjoy it.
What is he smoking?
He's smoking the Metropolitan.
Matt Sherman Metropolitan. Billy's smoking a Dunhill Age Dominican. I'm smoking the Christoph San Andres. What is she smoking?
Nat Sherman.
She's smoking the Nat Sherman Host.
And Rusty's also smoking the Dunhill Age Dominican. All right. There you go. So we got all our plugs in plus extras. Yeah. Okay, so I know because you and I used to sit and talk lunch about horror movies. So other than Texas Chainsaw, which is a given, what are some of the ones that really got you motivated to get in the horror genre?
I guess it kind of come from, you know, when we grew up, there's a whole VHS revolution, you know what I mean? And you'd go into the video store. My mom didn't kind of care what I rented, so I just rent the coolest, scariest covers you ever see, and it just made me kind of start liking that. And then haunted houses were kind of cool, and that was a way to get into that. And then knowing to do that, I knew someday I was going to do horror movies because of that. So that's what my goal from a little kid, you know, is just wanting to make movies someday. Is what I've always wanted to do.
That's cool. That's cool.
You have kind of an Italian gallo style. Did you like that type of stuff when you were growing up?
like the Suspirias and the Dario Argento's things?
I'm going to say...
He's going to say what?
I'll wait for you to bring the mic back.
Okay. Come on. Randy, get your shit together. Now, what? You going to give me a cigar now? I'm going to get attitude. I'm going to get Godfather attitude, all right? Rusty's going to come over here and kiss my thing. I mean, my ring. what he's saying is actually, no. I've watched like Torso and all that kind of stuff, but actually it's just, it's pure Americana with me, you know, as far as kind of things like that. If it is, it's purely coincidental. I feel like when I make something, you know, a movie or something, needs to be organic and it grows. So maybe they're doing that too whenever they do it. If somebody lets their, you know, film and stuff kind of grow into what it's supposed to be, then maybe that's what happens, you know, you get that. So it's purely accidental if it did. So.
Cool. And Rusty, what kind of movies do you like?
I was
skateboard.
Yes, basically. No, I
best friend's wedding.
Yes, no. Mostly, I grew up liking sci-fi and fantasy and that sort of thing, and that's still my big thing.
That is pretty gay, I'll admit.
Yes. Yes. I only had like a handful of horror movies that I watched that growing up, but you know, and that's kind of funny now that I'm in them. So people ask me about that, and I'm like, I have to think about it. So, but you know, some people consider some things like. I mean, for me, there's things that crossed over, like Alien and stuff like that, and Jaws and things like that. I watched those, and The Exorcist and things like that. So,
well, my parents took me to see Texas Chainsaw when I was 4. I call that great parenting. Well, my mom took us. And Brandon's doing the same thing with his daughter. He's got her into the horror genre real early. Any chance that there was ever a moment where you were thinking, is this too soon, or what?
No, I think as long as they know it's fake and they know what they're getting into and it's make believe and you know they understand that cinema is a way to escape escapism, then I think you're fine.
Gotcha.
I'll be honestly, like, from what I know about, you know, Brandon and his daughter, she's way more mature already than he is.
No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not that's what I think.
No, that's a given. That's a given. His wife did something right because obviously he didn't.
You're gonna lose your lights here with the.
Yeah, probably. But she can adjust. Is it getting dark? Is it getting dark on the camera? Okay, cool. All right. So, you're into acting? You just doing this for fun?
I'm into actors.
Oh, geez. Wow. I wasn't expecting her to go there, but okay.
Big Joe's an actor, but he's not famous.
But does that count if it's Rusty?
It counts enough.
Okay,
it counts
good.
For me.
Okay, good. All right.
She has low standards.
You didn't tell me she is blind.
Yeah, she is blind. That's right.
I saw that.
Okay. I think we're all kind of, we all have kind of bad taste if we're all hanging around with each other right now, right?
Yeah, all you guys hanging around with you're all going to hell.
I'm sure. If we're not already there. We're not already there. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. This was fun. You're not getting sick, so that's kind of, so we're good. Final thoughts on your first cigar experience.
It's fun. I like hanging around and doing it. It'd be good to do it at night. I'd like to see the glow. Is that kind of weird? But that'd be kind of fun.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, that'd be all right. But I think it's just about getting together with good friends and, you know, shooting the shit.
Sounds good. That's what it's all about. Mariah, Rusty, Brandon, Sydney. I don't know her name.
That's Melissa, my producer.
Hi, Melissa, his producer. Dave, Billy, thank you so much. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And we are here with Carlson Young. How you doing?
Carlson Young.
Oh, thank you.
From MTV Scream, the TV series. Yes. It's your first time in Dallas?
No, I'm from Fort Worth.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
Very cool.
If
so
we had
local.
IMDb'd you, we might know that.
So how'd you get into the Scream franchise? What was the process for you?
I just auditioned like the regular way, but I was a huge fan of the franchise, so it was just an honor to even really have the audition. But once I booked it, of course, it was like, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but I think we're doing okay.
MTV treating you guys well?
Yes, it's a great place to work.
So I'm only 2 episodes in.
Okay.
I came late to the party, but you're really good at that.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you.
It's a totally different scenario than the movie, but yet it has a lot of the elements of the movie.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the, you know, okay, you're in season 2 now.
Yeah. We're shooting the season to right now, but I think the first season, you know, has its moments of you know, the Scream world, and we try as best we can to stay in that vein, but also kind of, you know, make it something applicable to 2016, like, you know, the Scream world is applicable to 2016, so we play around with that. Yeah.
Very cool. So when you're in town, do you like hanging out with family, or what?
Yes,
are you doing?
Actually, I didn't even stay in the hotel with Bex. I stayed with my parents in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's very sweet. Very sweet.
Gotcha. That's cool.
So you've done other work in other genres. Do you prefer the horror genre, or you just kind of go where the work takes you?
It was my first, you know, kind of dip into the horror genre, but I really like it. It's certainly exciting. Every episode we shoot, it's like, you know, there's a lot of blood and guts, literally. In this season two is, I don't know, in my opinion, significantly bloodier than the first season. So there's that to look forward to.
Okay, we're old. We're so old that we remember when MTV played music videos. Okay,
I know. Me too.
And now you got
even
now
I
you got
that.
Teen Wolf and Scream.
Yeah.
So now you're kind of it's like they're going into the horror genre. I mean,
I know.
It's kind of cool.
I feel like I recently read that they were bringing back some of their, you know, 90s, early 2000s programming, which made me really, really happy.
We're even older than that.
I think they need to do like a VH1 pop-up video thing with the Scream TV series with little factoids.
Yes.
Oh, I think
cool.
That'd be really
yes.
cool.
Oh my gosh, that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank
You're very
you.
Sweet.
So and fun. So nice to meet
welcome
you.
Welcome back to Texas.
Very nice to meet you. How have you liked the fans? Has it been pretty crazy with the...
Yeah, I think it's so cool to see people all dressed up, and it's like very dedicated. So
yeah, all right,
it's cool
very
to
cool.
Well, take care. Thanks
thank
again
so
for your time.
Bye bye.
I am Brandon Luna,
Randy Rankin,
and we're here with the guys from Among the Dead. William Innestone,
yes sir.
Matt Riffley.
Matt Riffley. I knew Matt. I didn't know the last name.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Good. All right. Good.
So we talked to you. Was it last year or the year? Okay.
Last year. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how's the project going since then?
Well, a lot has happened since then. We originally set out to make a feature film with the title Among the Dead. We have decided to go ahead and make that a short film under that title, and change the title for our feature film, which we will be doing later on this year. Which we have Zach Galligan now attached to the film.
Nice,
oh, nice.
In a key role, not a cameo. It's a pretty big role.
Oh, cool.
And Bill Johnson from Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Elsie Holt from Your Next.
Very cool, man.
Signed on to be on the feature film.
We've got a few other people we can't disclose yet. But
yeah. That's awesome.
I can't say it, but you mentioned somebody last year. I'll ask you off camera. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Very cool, very cool. Are you still going to willing to kill, you know, just regular people from the street in your movie?
That's what we've been doing here. We've been here at Frightmare. We've been telling people if you want to be a zombie, come at us on the Facebook, Among the Dead page. And when we do casting calls, we'll tell you to come on out. And whenever we're doing those zombie days, just come out and be a zombie.
Excellent, excellent.
I want to be a zombie.
And you guys are shooting it around San Antonio?
Austin, San Antonio, some places up by Waco. There's different locations, rural areas.
Correct. Basically from Waco down to Gonzales.
Is this like guerrilla style? You just like, we got this cool place, let's go shoot there?
No,
we're going permits. For the short, we are.
Boo. No,
yeah, the short's a little more guerrilla, but yeah. When we do the feature later this year in the spring, it's going to be far more structured and organized.
And what are you guys shooting on? Are you shooting on red? Or?
We're probably going to be doing red. We're shooting the short on reds, yes.
Okay. Very cool.
So the feature will probably be reds as well. You know, we use red cameras with old film glass to give it a kind of a dirty look.
Nice, cool. Nice.
Saturated, gritty, nasty look that I like, you know.
I heard there was some footage that we can see. Is it on the Facebook now, or is it? Did you guys just have it here at the
table?
We
had it here.
Should we tell?
Well, we actually have more footage that we're going to add on next weekend. We go back to filming next weekend, and then we've got the entire short should be wrapped here in about 2 months.
Nice. Cool.
Film festivals with the short. So then we're using that as our proof of concept because we really would like to get a bigger budget and be able to do the film right. That's one of the reasons why we decided let's go ahead and make a really good solid short under this title, and then we'll come back with a feature film under our new title, which can't disclose just yet. We have a really kick-ass name that's going to be really cool once we are able to officially announce it.
Very cool.
Well, if I remember correctly, you're friends with Billy Pond, right? You know Billy? Well, that's what he did, of course, with Dollboy and then the Circus of the Dead. So I think it's a really good idea.
We had a really good conversation with him yesterday about you know, getting started up again, how he was telling us the story about how he got the funding for Circus of the Dead and everything. So Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing right now because, again, we don't want to put out crap. There's too many crappy zombie films out. Yeah. It's all about, you know, just gore and the scares and not about the substance of the story.
Right.
And, you know, I want the zombies to look good, and that costs money, you know.
Right.
And one of my all-time favorites, and I think a lot of people's all-time favorites, is Dawn of the Dead. And I think the reason that that holds up is because it's about the characters. Yes, they're zombies, and they're cool and all, but it's really about driving it as a character-driven thing. And you don't see enough of that in horror movies nowadays, I think.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm a Day fan, so... Yeah. I like Day of the Dead better.
Oh, yeah, but that's also like same thing, though.
I consider Day to be my favorite.
Day is the best special effects also.
I like Sean
great, great
the
characters.
Best. Sean's my favorite.
Are we going to the Winchester later?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I almost wore that
call
shirt
him, call
today.
Him shells. Call them shells. I love that
line. All right, well, thanks again, guys, for the time, and wish you all the luck, man.
Check us out at www.facebook.com/AmongTheDeadMovie. That's how you can find us.
Great.
And make all sure right. It's all one word, Among the Dead Movie.
Okay. Among the Dead movie.
We got excellent. It.
Cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. I'm Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And we are here with Beverly Random.
Hi.
Yes.
Hello.
Return of the Living Dead.
Yes. Tina from Return of the Living Dead. Iconic role in a very iconic movie. It was one of my favorite zombie movies growing up. It got me back into the genre. I got to know, what was it like on the set with all these people doing this every day? I mean, did you guys, it sounds like, it seemed like you guys were friends. Like you did a lot of pre-work for this movie, unlike most horror movies.
True. We had 2 weeks of prep for the show, so it was very nice. 2 weeks of rehearsal, and we were all very close, and we still are. So
That's cool.
It was nice. Great, great buddies. Yeah. Great friends.
So you had something in your history here that he wants to ask you about. And this
okay.
is kind of...
You worked with Jimmy Stewart, obviously, at a very young age. Do you have any memories of Jimmy Stewart?
None whatsoever.
Are you serious? I met him. He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen him in movies and TV,
right.
But... No, I was a baby. I was literally the baby in Shenandoah. I have a twin sister, so they'd trade us off.
Okay.
And I do have a fantastic picture, which is on Facebook, of Jimmy Stewart holding both my sister and I.
That's awesome.
So cool.
That's awesome.
Gorgeous.
So
and my cool. mom's standing on the side. It's
well, I can tell you he's exactly what you would expect Jimmy Stewart to be. I met him. He was a great guy.
I'll bet. Yeah, I'll bet he was.
So your character, Tina, on the movie was a little more preppy than the other punk rockers. Did they give you any kind of backstory as to why she was with this guy over here or what the story was there?
Well, that's a great question. They asked us what we thought, which was very nice. And they did say she was Italian. That's why my hair was black. And Tina Spinelli, I believe it was. And I just said, well, I think I'm with him because, you know, he's like the bad boy and I'm the good girl. And you know how girls are attracted to that sometimes. So that's what I thought. And they, you know, yeah, that's it. That's it. He's the bad boy.
What was it like was working with all the special effects? I mean, they had some great special effects in that movie. And it was medium budget or was it considered a bigger budget movie for that time? Or?
Low budget, but the quality is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the effects were fantastic. Tony Gardner and Kenny Myers, they just did outstanding work, which now they're both so famous, you know, for their work. So, yeah, great, great things, great set pieces.
Okay, so when you're prepping for a zombie movie, I mean, what, you know, that's it's such a... beloved genre.
Yes.
I mean, is there some intimidation involved? Or you want to get it right? Or I mean,
oh yeah, we all took our jobs very seriously because at that time, it's like if you got a horror movie at our when we were teenagers in the young 20s, when you got a horror movie at that time, that was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was one of the big things for us. That and soap operas, believe
right.
it or not,
right.
were our thing. And so yeah, it was a pretty special thing.
That's cool. That's very cool.
So you mentioned in the panel the other day that you have an upcoming project. What is that?
Oh, yeah, I started working again because I stopped. I raised my son, and my husband works a lot, so you know I can't do anything. But now I've got Caesar and Otto's Paranormal Halloween, and something called it was No Solicitors, now it's called No Visitors, and I play Eric Roberts' wife, and we're an evil family. It was great fun.
Very cool.
And I just did on Friday just a cameo, and it was Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp, and she brought a ton. Kane Hodder's in it. A ton of iconic horror people to do this. Bill Moseley's in it.
Oh, nice.
Barbara Crampton, I believe, is in it. And Bring Stevens, myself. It was just, you know, again, a cameo role, but it was just so much fun. And then I also have one more thing. What is it? I can't think of it now. Something, one other thing, but it's not
okay.
coming to me.
Look out for one more thing.
Yes.
Because that's coming
hey,
out.
It's great that you're working. Again, it's good to see you out there. You still look great.
Thank
so.
You.
It's very nice meeting you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Take care. You remember what the other project was. And it's Freaks of Nature.
And it was too good to not come back for. But Brian Peck, Scuzz, and I play cameo zombie parents in Freaks of Nature. And Tony Gardner asked the director, because he was a big fan of Return of the Living Dead, if he'd like to have us be these zombie parents. So it's Freaks of Nature.
Yeah. Great nice. Movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It is a hilarious, hilarious movie, and it's got a lot of great scares in it, too. So,
thank you, Beverly.
Thank you again.
Appreciate it.
This is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And we're here with Michael Beck. How are you doing today?
Man, this is an echo in the place, right?
There is
an
echo.
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks. Thanks for...
So we're here at Texas Frightmare Weekend 2016. Is this your first time at Texas Frightmare?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I've had a great weekend. Met a lot of wonderful people coming by to see me, and, you know, it's been fun. It's been
do you
fun.
Do a lot of things, conventions like this?
I do maybe 3-4 years, something okay. like that.
Is it
yeah.
fun? I've always wanted to ask a celebrity that. Is it fun to do these types of things?
I think it's fun because I get to interact with the people that gave me a career. So, I have a lot. You know, I'm a people person, so
good.
It's good. It's fun.
So,
very cool.
The Warriors is why you're here. I mean, everybody, they had the Warriors panel. They all talked about it. But I got to ask about Xanadu because
sure,
I grew up with that. I grew up with
and
that.
And I love Olivia Newton-John. So
yeah, Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly. I mean, how was that? That had to be a fun, or was it like a troubled? How was that shoot?
Well, it was in the sense that there were, I think, 4 or 5 writers hired and fired to do rewrites in the making of it. That made it challenging.
Yeah.
But working with Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John was unbelievably good. She is exactly the down-to-earth, kind, loving person that, you know, her fans would expect her to be. And Gene Kelly, I mean, come on. I grew up on a farm in Arkansas. I'm sitting in a director's chair chatting with Gene Kelly.
That's cool. It was,
well, that's got to be freaking cool. Cool, yeah. So the Warriors is taking its life on its own. You got video games now and everything. I mean, yeah. Did you expect that when you made this movie that it was going to be that special? Or
had no idea. I don't think anybody had an idea. I mean, you know, does any film that becomes a cult classic, Casablanca, did they know they were going to be a cult movie?
No. Yeah.
Probably not. No. No, right. No, we had no idea. None whatsoever.
So upcoming projects you want to talk about? Or something you've done recently?
Yeah, I did an independent picture called The Grace of Jake. We wrapped that about 2.5 years ago. But as with independence, it has taken a while to get a distributor, which we finally got about 6 weeks, 2 months ago. So hopefully it will be out this year. So The Grace of Jake, go see it.
Yes.
It's fun.
And
it's
congratulations on that. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, well, any other questions?
No, I don't know this movie, and I feel bad about it. And we saw the Wes Craven thing yesterday.
They're talking about this movie.
Yes.
Wes Craven's Chiller. Okay.
What was it like working with Wes?
Oh, man, it was great. It was terrific. It was terrific. He's. I'm sure it was said yesterday in the panel. He's, you know, where Gentleman is in the dictionary, his picture is next to it. He was truly a gracious, really kind, extremely bright, talented, gifted man. It was a pleasure to work with him. The reason you haven't heard about this movie is we made it in 1985. It was a story of a man who was cryogenically frozen.
Okay.
10 years pass. They've discovered now the cure to whatever it was that killed him, and his mother has him thawed out and rejuvenated, and he comes back without a soul. That was that was a character I got to play, which was great fun. But it was a an NBC television movie of the week that Wes Craven directed. So it had its initial airing and then repeat airings on, you know, on television. And they did make a VHS of it,
okay,
which, you know, probably has moldy or falling apart cover, you know, covers on him now.
Right.
But I found out actually from a fan yesterday who walked up and knew this movie, said all you got to do is put in Wes Craven's Chiller on YouTube, and there it is. The entirety,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
I'll have to check that out.
Yesterday when we were
that's
researching,
cool.
I saw that on his IMDb page, and I was like, I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
So it was weird to see that there you were.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you.
You too.
Glad
good
you had a great show.
The Grace of Jake.
Yes, Grace of Jake.
Grace of Jake.
Randy. Yeah. Nice. Thank you, guys.
Very nice. Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
We're here with Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder, Jason Voorhees, man.
Yes. Victor Crowley.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Awesome show.
Unbelievable show. I have lost my voice, as you can see, so I'm kind of in character now, but this has been an amazing show. I haven't been here for a few years, so I'm just happy to be back.
We're glad to have
Cool, very cool. I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan. My parents took me when I was like 10 or 11 or something, and I've been a huge fan ever since. And
the best Jason.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
The best Jason.
I don't even think of Jason other than Kane Hodder. Pops into my head.
You brought personality to Jason through the mask. Was that something that was a director telling you what to do, or was that just you bringing it?
That's just my idea of the character. Yeah. I just decided to do what I felt was right, and you know, fortunately, people responded to it.
Yep. People keep hiring you. I mean, Victor Crowley, you got a bunch of Hatchet movies. Is there anything going on with that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Any upcoming projects you want to talk about?
Friday the 13th game coming out.
Oh, cool. Very
yeah,
cool.
I did the mocap for Jason, and I think I'm going to leave now and go kill some more people.
There
like
you
this.
Go. This is cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Kane, thank you so much.